in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let me turn over there myself. And again, just by way of introduction, I'll just recap. On Monday night, our thought was the result of missing missions. And you remember how that God wanted to use the church there in Jerusalem to send out the first church sent missionaries into all the world that lost sinners might be saved. And of course, they were content with doing their own thing. They had settled down in Jerusalem and content with what they had and what they were doing. And they failed to send out the missionaries. Therefore, God sent persecution to the church and scattered them, and they went everywhere preaching the Word of God. And as the Word of God was scattered, we know that wicked men were saved by the grace of God and that works were started. And then the church at Antioch was started, and there in Acts chapter 13, God called Barnabas and Paul out of that church. The Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And so they were sent out, and they went into various areas of the world, and others were sent out preaching the gospel. And on his second missionary journey, he went to Europe, to the continent of Europe, and preached the gospel. They heard, they received the gospel, and that was handed down generation to generation. Our forefathers heard that gospel, believed it, and received it, and brought it to this land. And we heard, and we believed, and received, and we're the fruit of the work that was going on at that church at Antioch, the fruit of them first missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, being sent out of that church. And then last night, we preached on prayer, praying for missions and praying for missionaries, and the importance of praying for the missionaries. And boy, they need our prayers. We need to pray one for another. Amen. And the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I say that time spent with God is not wasted time. Amen. And it's a time where we can pray and get along with God. And when we do, we want to cry out to God on behalf of the missionaries, and they have needs. And we need to pray that God will meet the needs that they have and take care of them and will sustain them and so forth. And so, but tonight I want to preach on the subject of the mission offering or grace giving. Grace giving. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, we'll start reading there in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me." Let's pray. Our Father, tonight, again, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be in such great company and to stand behind this pulpit. And Father, thank you for saving my soul and for calling me into the ministry, putting me there for thy glory. I pray tonight, Lord, that your word will be magnified. And Lord, I pray that you'll do your work through me one more time. And Lord, I need your help. I'm not capable of doing this on my own. I do pray that you'll fill me with the Holy Spirit again. Use me for thy glory. Speak to hearts. Father, we desire your presence. We need you, Lord. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, most of us, if you've been saved any length of time, you've already learned about the tithe. We have learned that the tithe is the first 10% of our income. Now, occasionally, not too many times down through the years, I've been saved. It'll be 31 years this September that I've been saved by the grace of God. And over those 31 years, I have heard just a few times somebody say, well, tithing is Old Testament law. And you don't find tithing in the New Testament. Well, as I grew in the Lord and read the Bible and learned some things, I was able, when people would say things like that around me, I was able to tell them that tithing, even in the Old Testament, when Abraham gave tithes, he tithed, he gave a tenth to Melchizedek. And when he gave that tenth, that was a tithe that he was given of all that he possessed, all that he had. He gave him a tithe and he gave him 10%. And when he did that, at that time, the law had not even been given. So when somebody says, well, tithing, that's under the law, that's Old Testament law. No, that's not true. Tithing's been from the very beginning. And I don't argue with them. I just tell them, you know what the scriptures say when people say those things. And it's just they don't know, some of them, or they've been taught wrong. And I'm not preaching on tithing tonight, but I will add this. If you don't tithe, God's going to curse you. And there in Malachi, he said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Remember, he said, you're cursed with a curse. He told his people, he said, you've robbed me. They said, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. And he said, you're cursed with a curse. He said, therefore, bring all the tithes into my storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And let me also say that the storehouse is the local church. The storehouse is God's house. If you're a member here at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, then this is where you bring your tithe. Now, you're going to hear somebody along the lines, they may say, well, you can tithe anywhere, or you can give anywhere. Well, no, that you can't do that, and I can't do that. Why? Because the tithe don't belong to us. The tithe belongs to God. I look at it that it all belongs to God, and 100% of it, and he just requires me to give 10% back to him, amen. And let me tell you something. Since I got saved, I've tithed. Matter of fact, I'm afraid not to tithe. You say you're afraid? Yes. I'm afraid not to tithe. And because I have a fear of God in my heart. Amen. You show me somebody that does not tithe, and I'll show you somebody that does not fear God. Because God said, I'll curse you if you don't tithe. And so, we'll go on. Don't want to spend too much time on that. But we know that the tithe is the first 10% of our income. It does not belong to us. It belongs to God. And what we do when we tithe, we separate it from our portion and we bring it to the church, to the house of God, the storehouse, and we dedicate it to God. In that dedication, the tithe loses our identity and becomes the property of the church. It becomes the church's money. The tithe is God's way of financing the normal operations of the church. Now, so there's the tithe. But now there's another type of giving, and it's called the free will offering. And what that is when there's a special need that arises. Let's say there's a need here at the church house. Maybe something broke and it needs fixing. Or maybe there's a need, there's a crisis and a family has a special need that arises. And so Pastor Wynn may get up and say, listen, let's take up an offering for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, or we've got this project, whatever it may be. And so you take up an offering. That's called a free will offering. And those are special offerings, and that's another type called the free will offering. And that's another type of giving. But then there's a third type of giving, and that's the mission offering. Amen? Is that me whistling? think I will, because I can hear that thing tonight. Amen. Y'all can hear me, can't you? All right. I rarely get from behind the pulpit anyway. And I heard some old preacher one time, and I wouldn't have dare said anything back to him. He was older than me and bigger and smarter and everything too, you know. But he was questioning the younger men's call to preach if they stood behind the pulpit. He thought they ought to get down, you know, and preach and get in everybody's face and everything, which is what he did, and that's great. But I always thought, well, what good's the pulpit? If we're not supposed to stand behind it, why even have it, right? So I don't mind standing behind the pulpit. Hey, this is where the mic is, and guess what? I got some place to put my Bible too, amen. But I don't hear that sound now. So there's the tithe. That's one tithe. That's a give. We give the tithe. And then there's the free will offering. And then the third type of giving is the mission offering. Now, the mission offering is money collected by the church to be sent out to someone serving the Lord in another place. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in our text here, verses 1 through 4, first we see in verse number 1 that this is a collection for the saints. Now concerning the collection, the Bible says, for the saints. Now tithes are not collected for the saints. I heard someone preaching on tithing one time, and they used these scriptures in their sermon, but these verses are not dealing with tithing here. This is dealing with an offering here, a type of offering. This collection is for the saints. Tithes are not collected for the saints. Tithes are collected from the saints. And then next here we see, in verse number 1, it says, as I have given order. Now notice the word order there in verse number 1. Paul uses the word order to signify an established pattern or an established system for giving. As he traveled across the province of Galatia establishing churches, he also established a system whereby each church was to give to the support of missions. In the phrase, which is in the last part of verse 1, in the phrase there, even so do ye, he instructs the church at Corinth to develop the same kind of missions program. Now we see the order in verse number 2, giving to missions. It is to be done, number 1, systematically. Y'all see that? Upon the first day of the week. It is to be done on a regular basis. It is to be done on Sunday. Now, I don't mean you can't do it on Wednesday or any other day that you're meeting at the house of God, but it is to be a systematic type giving, faithfully giving to the missions here. So it's to be systematic giving. And the reason is, he said, that there be no gatherings, the last part of verse number 2, when I come. Now, as we give systematically to missions, then the church has the money each month to send out to the missionaries without extra appeals. You see, that way, if everybody is taking part and everybody is giving to the mission program, then you don't come up short. You don't have to one day or one service at the end of the month or the first of the next month say, you know, we don't have quite enough money in the account or whatever to support all our missionaries, and so we're going to have to take up a special offering. Paul said, no, let's not worry about that. Let's let every one of you lay by him in store. As God hath prospered him, he said, that there be no gatherings, that is, no special collections when I come. That way we'll have enough to give. And then he says, not only should it be systematic giving in that verse, he said there ought to be total involvement. You see there where it says, let every one of you. Amen. That means no one is exempt. Amen? By the way, I don't know if I've said this already. I think I have, but I'll say it again. Too poor to give is not in the Bible. Have I told you about the, let me tell it again, even if I have. Even if I have told it. It was a story I used to tell to my junior boys class back at my home church. I taught a junior boys class, and 8 and 9 years old, and sometimes the 10-year-olds would get in there. Averaged 42 boys in my junior boys class every Sunday morning. Had a big church bus ministry, still has a big bus ministry at my home church. But I taught them boys. I treated that little class like it was my own little church. And I loved teaching those CEF, those Child Evangelism Fellowship, those flannel lessons. I had my board, and I put the flannels on the board, and I teach those boys the Bible. And I had a story, it was a mission story about a man who was on an island somewhere, and he was ministering to the Dayak people. And the name of the lesson is, I think you can still get that lesson, it's called How the Dayaks Learn to Give. And these people were very, very poor. They could carry everything that they owned in a 5-gallon bucket. And so God wanted this missionary to teach them the principle of giving. And so he taught them, and they gathered together and had a meeting, and then they decided, yes, we've accepted this from God. And they went to the missionary, and they said, "This, we're going to do that." And so, of course, they didn't have any money, but yet God wanted them to give. So what they did was, whenever they met for service on the on Sunday, they would show up, and they might have a chicken, and they'd put the chicken in there. And so if they had 10 chickens, they'd bring a chicken. If they had 20 chickens, they'd bring 2 chickens. If they had 100 eggs, they'd show up at church with 10 eggs. And then the missionary would take it to other islands, and he would sell the chickens and sell the eggs. He would turn it into money, and he got to where he was buying cloth, and you know, so they could make clothes. And see, they didn't have hardly any clothes, but now they're able to make their own clothes. Now they've got clothes. They were buying building materials. They had no place to worship but under trees. And now they've got this church that they've built. And it all started when they, who had very, very little to their name, started giving out of what they had. And God started blessing them and started increasing. And so too poor to give is not in the Bible. There ought to be total involvement. I can give more today because God has blessed me than I was able to give back when I was just a young Christian. But I remember praying and trusting God, and I told God, I said, "Lord, bless me." Man, I seen other people in the church, how God had blessed them and God was using them, and they were able to give to missions and give to others and help people. And I said, "God, I want to be able to do that too." And so I'd pray, "God, you bless me." And I promised God, "God, if you give it to me, I won't let it stick to my fingers. I'll give it. I'll just be a channel. Just as God gives it, and I give it out. God gives it, and I give it out." And let me just tell you something. God is always looking for somebody that he can use in that manner. Amen. And if you'll have that same attitude or that same kind of spirit, I mean, God will greatly use you. God will give through you a lot of times what he may not give to you for your own personal use. And I found that to be true also. But there should be total involvement. The Bible here says, "Let every one of you," no one is exempt. In giving the missions, each person is to look how God hath prospered him and give accordingly. Everyone can give something. Now, maybe the little ones can't give what the adults can give, but they can give some. I've seen children start giving the missions and trusting God for a certain amount each week, and God miraculously gives it to them, and they bring it in. It might not be but a couple of dollars a little kid has. It might be $5, you know. And so they may not be able to give what an adult can give, but they can give. Amen. Everybody can give something. So in verses 3 and 4, the Bible here shows us that just as this money for missions was collected by the church at Corinth and sent out by that church to the saints serving in Jerusalem, our missions offering today are to be given to the local church and then dispersed by the authority of the local church. The local church is to carry out the Great Commission. Amen. Now, turn over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, just a few pages there, chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And again, did you notice where that money was going to help spread the gospel? Jerusalem. Amen. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we had the example of the churches of Macedonia. And in verse number 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. This they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." Now we're talking, remember, grace giving. Here we have the example of the churches of Macedonia, the church at Philippi, Thessalonica, the church in Berea. And these churches were an example to the church at Corinth. And I want us to notice four things about how the churches gave and how the Lord blessed them. Look at verse 2 again. It says, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality." They gave out of their deep poverty. They didn't stop giving because, remember, there was a famine in the land. Remember, a great dearth was coming throughout the whole earth, or was upon the whole earth. And they didn't stop giving just because things were tight, just because there was a famine in the land. No, they gave out of their deep poverty, and they kept on giving. And look what God did. It says their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And let me remind all of us tonight that recessions and famines does not hinder the ability of God to do what needs to be done. It does not hinder God. It doesn't affect his ability to supply when God's people believe him. Back over in the Psalms, I'm reminded of when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they questioned God. As a matter of fact, they tempted him. And they by asking a question, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" It says, "Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out, the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also?" they ask. "Can he provide flesh for his people?" Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. As a matter of fact, their doubting of God and their questioning his provision in a great time of need, they're in a wilderness place, it provoked God to anger. He was wroth with them. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. The word salvation there just, it means deliverance. He had delivered them, is delivering them, and will deliver them, but yet they doubted. Why? Because they were in a tough situation. They were in a desert place. You ever been in a desert place spiritually? Don't doubt God during those times. He's still there. And he knows where we're at. Amen? When we're in the valley, he's there with us. We're on the mountaintop, he's there with us. And we just need to continue to believe God no matter where we are or no matter what's going on in our lives. Hey, we can trust in the promises of God because God is faithful who's promised. Amen? It says here, "Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna upon them to eat and given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused the east wind to blow into heaven, and by his power he brought the north wind or south wind.
He raineth flesh also upon them as dust and feathered fowls, like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitation. So they did eat and were well filled. The Bible says that they did eat angels' food. Where did they do this at? Where did they see the provision of God? They saw it in a desert place. It looked like there was no hope but God. Amen? And God is well able to take care of it, of us. And I say again that recessions and famines do not affect God's ability to supply when people believe God. And let me tell you something. We're talking about grace giving tonight, or the faith promise missions. And faith promise is simply not us giving out of our resources. It is us believing God for a certain amount that he's going to give through us. We trust him for that amount. And we trust him to send that in. Every single week. Can God do that? He sure can. You say, well, what if there's a recession? What if there's a God forbid, a depression? Can we believe God then? Absolutely. These things do not affect the ability of God when God's people believe him. In verse 3 here it says of chapter 8 that they were willing to give beyond their power. In verse number 3, for to their power, Paul says, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Now, how in the world can someone give beyond their power? How are we able to give more than we're able to give? Well, we have to do that by faith. That's how we do it. We do it by faith. That is faith, promise, giving. Now, what is faith, promise, giving? Is this something that is scriptural? Oh, yeah. It's definitely scriptural. In 2 Corinthians chapter number, let me look here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and watch this, and not according to that he hath not. So we believe that God will give a certain amount through us. We trust him to supply that through us, and we wait on God to do it. Will he do it? He sure will. Let me just tell you something. Anything you believe God for, it'll happen. Do you believe that? Amen. All things are possible to him that what? Believeth. Amen? All things are possible to him that believeth. And by the way, you know who was it? Was it Jairus? I told the preacher earlier, I read so much, I get things mixed up sometimes. I believe it was him. Said, Lord, I believe. Or maybe it was the one who had the little boy that the demon was cast out of. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. So, hey, a little bit of faith, even if it's got a little bit of doubt, if there's just a little bit of faith involved, hey, God can do great and mighty things. He can even perform miracles with just little faith. And the Bible says, if you and I have faith as a grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds, we can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And guess what? It shall be done. Amen. We see there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 and 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Amen. Verse 7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And so faith promise, yes, is scriptural. It's an act of faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We know from the scriptures there in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians that it involves everyone in the local church. Amen. It sets a goal for the one giving. It's an organized approach to missionary giving. It's local church centered. It is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to administrate the program of missions through an individual giver. And that's what God wants. He's looking for a vessel that he can use. That's what he's doing. Amen. He's looking for that one. Now, it's not a pledge. It's not something that you pledge. Amen. As a matter of fact, let me turn over and read you in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Chapter number 5, verse 4. It says, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay." So it's not a pledge. It's something that you, by faith, trust God to give to you that you might give to missions. Amen. It's not something that someone will come to collect. It's not determined on the basis of what you know you can give, but what you are willing to believe God for. Here's what I'm saying. I remember whenever I was a young Christian, first year when I was saved, Dr. James Ellis, who started Fundamental Baptist Home Missions, came to my church, and he presented Faith Promise Missions. And I remember after he presented that, me and Angie, we went home that night, and we said, "What are we going to believe God for?" Money was tight for us, very tight. And we lived in a trailer park. We owned our trailer, but it was in a trailer park on a rented lot. And I think we had one car at the time. And we got two cars now. And so praise the Lord for that. But so we're thinking, man, what can we give? And I did what I was told actually not to do. I immediately started going through the checkbook and getting all the bills and seeing what I could do. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me, that's not what this is all about. What do you believe God for? And so me and my wife prayed, and we come up with a figure, and I had one in my head, and I asked her, and she had one in her head, and guess what? It was the same number. And so we started faithfully giving Faith Promise Missions. Started giving to the mission program at the church. And by the grace of God and to the glory of God, we've never missed giving to missions. Has there always been lots of money, preacher? No, don't think that for a second. But we've always had what we believed God for to give to missions. And we've upped it over the years. And we, to this day, we still support missions ourselves, even though we are missionaries. We support missions. By faith, we've continued and we trust that. A preacher told me when I was a young Christian, and I never forgot it. He said, "Chip, if you'll be a giver," he said, "God will always make sure that you have it to give." And I have found that to be true. Amen. By faith, each member of the local church contributes a certain amount which God leads him or her to promise on a weekly basis to the mission program of the local church. The offering is in addition to the regular giving. The promise is made between you and God. And so you must look to God to supply that need that you believe God for to give to missions. Y'all with me? Amen. Amen. And God will bless you for it. Amen. And so they were willing, verse 3, to give beyond their power. It's not you and I giving out of our resources. It is us giving out of Christ's riches. How much can you and I trust God to supply through us? Let me give you an example right quick of Hannah. Y'all know Hannah in the Bible. Remember, she was barren. She couldn't have a child. She had no child, but she desperately wanted a little boy. She went to God in prayer, and she said, "Lord, if you'll give me a man child," she said, "I'll give him back to you." Now, you see what she's doing here? Hannah, within her own power, had not the ability to have that child. Her womb was closed. But she went to God and she believed God for a man child. And she said, God, if you'll give me that little boy, I'll give him back to you. God heard her prayer, opened her womb. She conceived. She had a little boy, named him Samuel. And after she weaned him, she took him to the temple, left him there in the temple with Eli. And guess what? God used Samuel in a great and mighty way. He was a great prophet of the Lord. As a matter of fact, he lived for the Lord, and God was using him greatly throughout his whole life. And the Bible says the day of his death, all Israel mourned over Samuel. They loved him. But you see, there's an example of someone not able. Hey, I don't know if I can't do this, God, but I'm believing you to do it through me. And look what God did. God can do anything. Amen. God can do anything. She was willing to do what she could not do. Hey, and God did it through her. Amen. She trusted him, and God blessed. Now, look at verse 4. The Bible says, they gave as partners, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Now, this is exactly opposite of today. Today, the missionaries will call the pastors and they'll say, Pastor, I'm so-and-so and I'm going so such-and-such place. And I was wondering if I could come by and present my burden for the Philippines or for Cherokee or for Mexico or China, wherever. And that's the way we do it today. The missionaries call the local church, talk to the pastor, and ask if they can come and present the burden. But do you know, in these days here, it was directly the opposite. In verse number 4, the church is begging the missionary to come and take their money and go and preach the gospel. Now let me read it again. Praying us, Paul says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, why was it this way? The answer, I believe I mentioned the other night. The churches in Macedonia realized that the Great Commission was not given to missionaries. The Great Commission was given to the local church. And that's why they desired that they would take that gift and use it for the furtherance of the gospel, for the glory of God. It was given to the local churches. In verse number 4, the churches wanted the missionaries, it says here, to take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. By the way, giving to missions is a ministry. That's what it is. It's a ministry of the local church. The common concept is that missionaries, now watch this, minister to sinners, but this verse says that missionaries minister to saints. Now don't lose me. Praying us, verse 4, with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You see, when a church helps support a missionary, that missionary goes and preaches to sinners. But what he's doing, he's ministering to the saints that sent him. We're co-laborers together. Amen. We're working together. Amen. The local church needs the missionary to go. The missionary that's going needs the local church to send him. Amen. That makes sense? They become fellow laborers in the gospel. And then in verse 5 and 6, we see that they first gave themselves to the Lord. And then they gave what God had given them, amen, to the laborers to get the gospel out. Now this is the secret. And I'm done. They first gave themselves to the Lord, it says. If God ever gets a hold of you, he'll have all of you. Have you found that to be true? And by the way, God does not want partnership with you and I.
He wants ownership of you and I. He wants all of us. Amen? And if God ever gets you, he'll have all of you. That is all you have. And if God does not control your wallet, he does not control your will. Amen? Anything that God does not control becomes a God. And then it will control me and you. Amen? That's what will happen. Let me ask you tonight, are you willing? Are you willing to do that that God requires of you and I at the local church? Amen? We are a local assembly. We are a called out assembly, a local body of believers. Right here there's one. There's one over yonder, there's one over yonder, and God's got them everywhere. But yet we all make up the body of Christ. And God has given us the great commission, the great command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that command has been given to the local church. Amen. It was William Carey that said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And he took the gospel to India. And let me tell you, I know there's a lot going on around the world. A lot going on right here in America. And if we're not careful, we'll allow these things to become distractions to us and get us off our focus. Amen? This is not a time to stop or let up. It's not a time to hold back on God, either with our money or with our labor. Heroic missionaries still labor on the fields of this world, and they still lay down their lives when necessary. And it is the will of God that we not only tithe, but it is the will of God that we support missions. Every one of us, none of us are exempt. Amen? Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads and pray just for a moment. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the principles that we've been shown. Lord, I thank you for enabling me, Lord, to give to missions. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of that. Thank you for blessing me and my wife that we can be a blessing to others. Lord, thank you for each one here tonight that you've blessed. I know that this church gives greatly, Lord, to missions. And I pray, God, that you'll continue to bless them, that they'll be able to give. And Lord, tonight I pray that you'll speak to hearts. And maybe you would have some increase their giving. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll touch them, if that be your will. Maybe there's one who has not been given, Lord, and I pray that you'll speak to them tonight and that they'll start and be faithful to giving to missions, that the gospel will go into all the world. Lord, I pray your will be done. I know time is short, and that we do, we need to do quickly. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be diligent, Lord, in what you've called us to do, that we'll not be distracted or sidetracked in any way, but that we'll stay focused on what thus saith the Lord. God, we love you, and thank you for this night, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.